The week before that, we started a series on giving.
And
I want to just kind of review a little bit before we get into today's message. We looked at two main verses, looked at several different passages, but two main verses that I really want to just kind of pull out and remind ourselves as we go through this service or through this series. The first one is Deuteronomy 16:17, and what we learn from that verse is that everyone should give according to their blessing. I think I have that on a I think I have that as a slide in review. No, I don't have. There should be a whole tab called review. No? All right. Well, then you guys can just repeat after me. Everyone give according to their blessing. That's Deuteronomy 16:17. That's not what the verse exactly says, but that's what we learned from the verse. And then 2 Samuel 24:24, give from my own resources. And there David was talking about, I'm not going to go into the Lord's hand without giving something that, or without giving that costs me something. It has to cost me something if I'm going to present it to the Lord. And so he wanted to purchase these animals that he was going to go and sacrifice for the Lord. So those are two things, and we'll kind of just keep reviewing as we go along. The sermon series is on giving, and I really hope that it's a blessing to you because this is one of the chains in the Thompson Chain Reference Bible. One of the chains is on giving. And when I was in Africa, we had to do a homework assignment, and it was to go through this chain on giving and to prepare a report on giving. And it was just a great blessing to me, and so I hope it's a great blessing to you as we go through these verses each week. So this verse, or this week, we're going to look at a couple of different verses. The first one is Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. But before I get there, I want to set it up with by reading Hebrews 11:6. Do you guys have that? Hebrews 11:6? Perfect. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know, sometimes we learn a new game or we learn a new activity, and so we get together, and somebody has to know the rules, right? Somebody has to know the goal of the game and what are the rules, because nobody likes to play the game where the rules get made up along the way, right, to fit one side or the other, right? Unless you're playing the game of Mao, which that's exactly what the game of Mao is you make up the rules as you go along. But, well, when you're not in the game, you can say the game. But anyway, most games, you want to know what are the rules ahead of time and what is the point of what we're trying to accomplish. And so this verse in Hebrews tells us that we are here to accomplish God's will, and we have to believe that he is a rewarder of those who seek him, right? There is a reward in finishing or pursuing the task that God has given to us, and one of those is give. And so we kind of want to know, what is God looking for? What is it that we're supposed to be accomplishing? What is it that he wants us to do? And so with that in mind, we're going to look at Matthew 5, 23 through 24. It says, therefore, if you bring a gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar, and go your way, and first be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. It's kind of interesting. Yesterday we were going through the airport on our way back from Florida to South Dakota, and we were in Charlottesville, North Carolina, and in the airport was a gift shop. And in the gift shop, it said, "The change starts with a gift." Change starts with a gift, right? And the idea is if you've messed up and you're going to promise to do better next time, start by giving a gift, right? Say, here is my, you know, token of I'm going to try harder. And the reality is actually God kind of says that, no, that's actually not what you're supposed to do. The gift isn't the beginning. The gift is actually separate, right? God wants us to give from a pure heart. Not give in order to get a pure heart, but to give from a pure heart. It says, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you. Now, it's interesting. It does not say if you remember that you've done something wrong, right? It doesn't even matter if it's your fault or not, right? What matters is that your brother has something against you. If you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, it doesn't say take your gift. It says leave your gift there before the altar and go your way, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Now, why do you think that is? Well, I'm going to answer that question for you. The first point I want to make is words come from the heart, right? When we have offended somebody, it is often because of, or one of the ways that we offend people is through our words. And those words come from the heart. Matthew 15, 10 through 20 says, "When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, 'Hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man.' His disciples came to him and said, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?'" What had happened was the Pharisees were, you know, they're really concerned about their rules and the religious rituals of their day. And the disciples and Jesus were not washing their hands in the way that the priests teach people to wash their hands. And so they're asking, why don't your disciples follow the traditions and wash their hands? And Jesus answered them, "Hear and understand. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth defiles a man." And the disciples are saying, "Hey, did you know that they were offended when they heard this saying?" They were kind of hot and bothered by that. They got you know, upset. It probably would have been on the nightly news at that time if they had a nightly news. But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch." And Peter answered and said to him, "Explain this parable to us." And so Jesus said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man." "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." What is Jesus concerned about? Can you maybe pick up a bug eating without washing your hands? Maybe you get a little stomach bug. right? That's not what defiles you. Jesus is talking about the spirit, the heart of the person. And our words that come out of our mouth, they come from our heart. James 3 talks also about the words that come out of our mouth. It says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we will receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body." Right? If you can get your tongue figured out, you won't have any trouble with the rest of your body, right? Your foot's not going to cause you any trouble once you master that tongue. "Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh." You know, on this trip, I got to try two things that I've never tried before. I got to experience what salt water tastes like. Well, okay, I had salt water as a kid. I take that back. But salt water in the ocean, I got to taste what salt water from the ocean tastes like. And I got to try figs. We had figs on our ship, and we got to eat figs, and they are very delicious. But they do not taste like grapefruit, right? They do not taste like oranges. They are a different thing. And so our mouth, our tongue, it is a very difficult thing to tame. But it's very difficult because it says what is in our heart, right? Those little things that we don't want to get out. We don't want people to hear. Oh, that slipped out, right? Oops. Well, where was it? Where did it slip out of? It slipped out of our heart. When we sin against others, we also sin against God. Those two aren't divided. When we sin against others, we sin against God. And so, if we think about the example that we are looking at here in Matthew chapter 5, we're looking at verse 23 and 24, but if we kind of look at the context, we're talking about murder. And that murder begins in the heart. Verses 21 through 26 says, "Have you heard that it was said of these, that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you," and this is Jesus preaching in the Sermon on the Mount, "but I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way and first be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. And so God is talking about conflict here. He's talking about murder. He's talking about our thoughts. He's talking about our attitude towards other people. And he's saying all of this is very important because murder begins in our heart. It's not just the big sins that matter to God. It's the root of those sins that matter to God. Even the words that we speak when we call somebody, oh, a fool. Right? When we say mean things towards each other, we are maybe not murdering the flesh, but we are trying to kill that person's spirit. And Jesus says, that is not right. You are going to be disciplined. You are in danger of the council. And when you've done wrong, agree with your adversary quickly, right? Agree to restore that person. Agree to pay back or reconcile that person, because before we give our gift, we need to come and be right with that person and with, most importantly, God. What did David say after he sinned with Bathsheba? What did he say in his prayer in Psalm 53? It is to you and to you only that I have sinned. Right? Here he killed this other guy. He'd had adultery with Bathsheba, and here he writes to God, it is to you and to you only that I have sinned. Why? Because God is the one that judges us. God is the one that matters. He's the one that's going to judge us when we die. He is the one that we should be concerned about. And so before we come to give to him, it is important that we reconcile. If you bring your gift to the altar and you remember your brother has something against you, leave your gift there, go your way and be reconciled to your brother, and then come offer the gift. We are to seek out the offended. We are to agree to make restitution. And here's an important thing for us to remember, is that God's approval is not bought or manipulated through gifts. Humility and repentance is necessary. We've all prayed those prayers, right? Maybe we got in trouble and we say, oh God, if you would just please do this one thing for me, I will spend the rest of my life doing whatever you want me to do. Please just help me right now. God's not impressed by sacrifice. He's impressed by obedience. And when we are not obedient, he requires humility and repentance. So before we give to him, we need to make sure that our heart is right. Give from a pure heart. And number two, the other passage that we're going to look at this morning is Matthew chapter 6, verse 3, which teaches us to give out of a genuine love for God. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Now, we often remember that phrase, and we often use that phrase, but we need to make sure that we understand what this passage is actually teaching. So let's go back and read verses 1 and 2. It says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. So when we give, we are not to give to get praise from men. Right? Let me tell you what I published or what I've given so far in church this year. Right? Who's to that benefit? Why would I say that? It's in order for you, hopefully, to say, oh, wow, Pastor Mike, he must be really serious about his relationship with God. Wow, he's really great. Man, if some of us could just live up to Pastor Mike. Well, hopefully that's what you'd say, right? You might look at it and say, oof, Pastor Mike, you need to get with the program, right? But when you do a charitable deed, whether that's giving in church, or whether that's giving out in the community, or whether that's giving to the homeless, or maybe giving overseas to some of the people that we learned about last week, the persecuted church. Whenever you do a charitable deed, we're not to do it for the praise of mankind. This is vain glory or selfish ambition, right? Our love is often very selfish, right? We've talked about this in the past. I'll do something nice for you, I'll do something nice for you. Exactly. And that's how our love works, right? People fall out of love. How do you fall out of love? Well, the other person didn't hold up their end of the bargain. I was nice to them, and they weren't nice to me. That's not the kind of attention that we should be seeking when we do our charitable deeds. Our charitable deeds are to be done for God's glory. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And pull up, I don't have it in here, but pull up 6:4. Please. Actually, I could just pull it up here in my Bible. I got my Bible. That's 6:4. No, that's he. I don't know. What is that? Yeah, that's all right. Hold on just one second. Matthew chapter 5, 6:3 and 4. But when you do your charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And so the idea is that we are to give out of a genuine love for God. And we are to do our good deeds. And it's not necessarily that nobody can know about them, but it's who are we seeking to please, right? Are we doing it to honor ourselves? Are we doing it to honor somebody else? Or are we doing it to honor God? And if we're doing it to honor God, then we don't need the credit. We don't need to get the admonition or praise of man. We do it for God's glory. When you do your charitable deed, do it in secret, and God will reward you openly. And so we return to this thought in Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. This is true glory. Our giving is a reflection of our desire to please God or not. Let me say that again. Our giving is a reflection of our desire to please God or not. Or you could say that our giving is a reflection of our heart. What is our heart's desire? It is reflected in our giving. And so, reviewing, how should we give? We should give out of the blessing that God has given to us, the resources that He has given to us. We should give out of our own resources, not somebody else's. We should give from a pure heart, and we should give out of a genuine love for God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, sometimes it kind of seems like, and maybe we've heard this before, that God just wants us for our money. The only reason we come to church is so God can get our money. But really, that's a very limited view of why we should come to church. Because if we really think about it, Lord, you want much more than our money. Matter of fact, you're not really all that interested in our money. Especially today, which our money is just debt anyway. But what you really want is our heart. You really want us to love you and to serve you. And out of that, we are willing to give back to you because we recognize that everything that we have belongs to you. Even this very life, even the very breath that we breathe is yours. The Spirit, what we think of as us that make the decisions, Lord, even that belongs to you. And so if we have the right perspective and we understand that everything that we are, everything that we have is yours, you created it, you own it, then it is right and it is good and it is appropriate for us to want to serve you with our life, to appreciate what you've given to us, and to give back to you a portion of what you've given to us in recognition for your goodness and your love and your mercy. And so, Lord, I pray that this series would help us to understand and to desire to give, not just at church, but, Lord, to others who are in need, as we'll learn next week, to those who ask of our help. Lord, whether it's just something simple as helping somebody cross the road or maybe just helping out in a pinch, we should have a desire to help and to give to others who are in need. And so, Lord, I pray that you would challenge our hearts this week to look for ways where we can honor you with our giving, whether it be our time or the other resources that we have, or that we would live our life to honor and to serve you. Because it is you that we desire to follow. It is you that we desire to understand, to know, and to seek. And so, Lord, help us to do that this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.